If you believe it will be wonderful there, say amen. If you believe that you are in the house of God, a God who has promises beyond measure, strength that will answer all of our needs, blessings that we cannot receive, say amen. Amen. It is so good to be back home. It's so good to see faces that I haven't seen in a few weeks, and to see smiles and to receive greetings from those of you who touched us by your phone calls, your texts, your emails as we were away placing Diane's mom next to Dad. They're together again. But what buoyed us in all of that was your love and your encouragement. Certainly God was with us, but we also like God's people to express themselves to us. And on yesterday to do exactly that. Our neighbor fell yesterday. She's an elderly lady. She fell. They thought she broke her hip. They rushed her to the hospital. They released her from the emergency room and brought her back home. She promptly lost consciousness. And so the ambulance came again to the same address. This time Diane and I were there. And you can't not see your neighbor or somebody in distress and not try to find out whether or not you can help. And so what we decided to do is that we're going to bless that family this week. We're going to bring them food. She's the wife and the food preparer, if you will. Men do that too, but this couple, the old man, depends on her, so we're going to take some of that burden off of them this week. And we're going to tell them that this comes not from James and Diane Thompson, but from the Wheatus Lane family of God. So find a way this way to provide service this week, to provide service for someone. Bless them. Then tell them the blessing comes from God via Wheatus Lane Church of Christ. Can you do that? Amen? Amen. There are many ways we can touch this world. There are many ways we can make a difference. And love and the extension of our grace and kindness to one another is following the pattern of Jesus. He never passed people in need and didn't touch them. And I don't think he wants us to do it though as well. We're in a season. We're in a season, folks. We've been in a season. But God is with us in that season, amen? And he blesses us in the middle of that season. Tonight, and Brother Duane will share a little bit more with you when he does the announcements, but there's going to be a service of remembrance. Some of you saw the email that I sent out on yesterday. And we're going to allow you to leave tonight's service around 5:30 so that if you would like to, you can go to Brentwood and be a part of that service of remembrance. And it's for families who've lost loved ones and friends. And you want to be in the power and in the presence of others who have similar experiences, who can strengthen you. And in that service, they will offer songs and poems and acknowledge by name the loved ones that we've lost, if you so desire that to occur. And they will light a candle, and then there will be some fellowshipping in a part of that. It's a part of us acknowledging our strength and sharing our strength one with the other. Amen? And so for those of you who want to be a part, it's just completely voluntary on your part. But we're going to make that possible for you if you so desire. In the book of Malachi, I'm still rambling, but I'm going somewhere. In the book of Malachi, Malachi the third chapter and the 10th verse, Malachi tells us that we ought to try God. Doesn't he say that? He says, try God and see if he will, what? Open up the windows of heaven and pour onto you a blessing that you can't receive. Didn't he say that? If you believe that, say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe that God rains down blessings. Amen. Amen. He certainly does. He lifts up the brokenhearted. He comforts those beyond the comfort that we can ever imagine. And so this morning, as we talk about that and as we think about the season that we're in and we think about the power that God has for us, I want us to learn a song and sing this song real quickly. It's a real easy song to sing. It's called Let It Rain. And we're just going to ask God to open up the windows of heaven and open up those floodgates and let it rain on us. And just those words are simply that. And what we're going to do is we'll sing that verse, and then we will layer it. And by that I mean we'll ask the sopranos to sing first, and then the next time through, we're going to ask the altos to join. And then the next time through, we're going to ask the bass, the tenor to join. And then the last time through, the bass will join, and then we'll do it one more time all together. Can we do that? All right, now think about this. Here's your minister trying to lead this song, so bear with me, all right? I'm going to give us, it's all unison, so you don't even have to worry about parts. Just, it's all unison. And this is how the song goes. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. And we just repeat that. Can you see that? Let's try it one time. All of us. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Just the parents. Open the floodgates. Come on, girls. Heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Altos, join them. Open the floodgates. Hear those beautiful voices. Let it rain. Let it. Come on, altos. Come on, altos. Oh, open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Tears. Oh, open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Come on, bass. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. One more time. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. voice of heaven. Let it rain, let it rain. Amen. God will bless us beyond measure if you trust him, if you believe in him, if you rely on him. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. Please don't hear in the title or in the message a belittling of our losses, or in any sense a ridicule of your emotions and how you feel in the middle of the loss. What I want you to hear is that there is support and there is strength even in the spite of that loss. And sometimes, like the old folks say, and that's why if you look at your bulletin, I have, it's time to get up now. Now you think about your grandmother or your great-grandmother or your great-grandfather who would look at you and say, okay, it's time to move on now. It's time to get up now. Does not disavow or not admit what's happened. It's time to get up in the strength of the God that you and I believe in. Amen? It's time to walk now with your loss, with that experience, with that defeat, with that setback, whatever it is, give it to God. There are going to be moments when you and I will still go back to the moment, and that defeat, that loss, that experience will be fresh. But also, with that freshness will come the strength of God. With that freshness will come the glory that God has promised us. With that freshness will come the help that God has promised. And I want us to see it in the life of one of the most powerful characters in Old Testament scripture, named Elijah. And if you're at 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and verse 1, say amen. I'm at 2 Kings, so give me a moment to get back. This is what the author leaves for us. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. He had killed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the God do to me, and more also if I don't make your life as one of them by this time tomorrow. Listen to the threat. Listen to the boasting of the enemy of God. Then he was afraid. This he here is Elijah. Then he was afraid, and he rose and he ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And he left his servant there. I want you to see what Elijah is doing. Sometimes when we have setbacks, sometimes when we have losses, sometimes when we have disappointments, we can be so overwhelmed with them that we just want to give up. Can't we? We just want to turn back the hands of time and just forget about it. And so what Elijah is doing here, what he is doing here, he's giving up his ministry. He's afraid, verse 3 says, and he runs for his life. And now what you're missing is what happened in chapter 17. But see, sometimes things can happen to us so powerfully and so fresh that they have a way of obscuring God. And so he runs for his life, and he goes back to Beersheba, and then, which belongs to Judah, a portion of the where the tribe of Judah had inherited land, and he leaves his servant there. I'm through. I'm leaving. I quit this. I don't need you anymore. I'm leaving my ministry. Anybody been in a situation where you felt like giving up? Anybody been in a situation where you thought, that's it, I can't take no more. I don't know how to take another step. Anybody been there? Yeah. Say, I've been there. Yeah. I want you to understand where Elijah is. Because if you can see how such a powerful man in God can get to this place, then you can kind of understand how sometimes you might be able to get here. And then we're going to see how he gets out of this. He left his servant there, verse 3 says. But verse 4 says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and he sat down under a broom tree and says, Lord, let me die. Let me die here. It's enough. Take away my life. I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no better than my ancestors, one version says. You know what Elijah has done? You know what's happened here? He's forgotten just how good God is. He's forgotten his blessings. He's forgotten he's got a God who can open up the windows of heaven and let it rain. Because he wants to die now. He's so depressed and he's so despondent. I want you to hear where he is here. And he lay down and he slept under this broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him. I said, arise and eat. Here is something that's powerful that you might miss. Sometimes, and this message may even sound like that, but I hope it doesn't. Sometimes in our attempt to minister to others, we sound like we are judging them. We sound like we're saying to them, you can get beyond this, as if, you know, all you gotta do is forget it. But you can say that if it's not your loss. You can say that if it's not your job you lost. Your bill that's got to be paid. You can say that. See, when you can be objective, it's real easy to be professional and to pontificate and to expound on how to, you know. But see, subjectivity puts us in the situation. Empathy allows us to feel. You remember when Job, and I know Brother Floyd touched on this last Sunday, you know how when Job's friends saw him, what did they do? They came to him and they sat with him. Sometimes you just need to be there. When they cry, you cry. And so the angel, God sends an angel to Elijah. And he doesn't say, Elijah, get up. He just touches him. You don't know how powerful a touch is until somebody holds you when you can barely stand. You don't know how powerful a touch is when when somebody just embraces you and just stands there with you. So the angel touched him and said, "Here, take something to eat here. You need this." Sometimes the strength and the ability for us to get up is in somebody just saying, here, take this. Assisting you, giving you the strength, having that compassion, having that empathy. Being touched when you touch, being crying when you cry. And you know what Elijah did? He looked and there was some cake baked on hot stoves and a jar of water, and he ate it and he drank. And you would almost think the next passage is, and he got up. No, he didn't. What did he do? He went right back. He laid right back down. Sometimes depression won't let us get up out of bed. It happens to the best of us. Or we put on good faces and strong faces, and we look good for others. But Elijah's being real here. He's keeping it 100, as they say. Is that all right? Is that all right? He eats, he gets his strength, and he goes right back down. And what does the angel do? The angel touches him again. Oh, don't you need an angel, y'all? Don't you need somebody to just be there with you? So the angel says, "Here, eat again, because the journey is too great for you." Now, the angel is getting ahead of the story. But what the angel is doing is preparing Elijah for a trip that Elijah needs to go on. A trip that you and I need to go on every once in a while when we get where Elijah is. And see, so Elijah arose and he ate and he drank and he went in the strength of the nourishment, the compassion, the mercy, the grace, the love, the empathy that was extended to him 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Now, think about this. The Horeb doesn't mean a lot to some of us because we haven't made the connection. But let me make a connection. Anytime you see Horeb in the Bible, think Mount Sinai. Okay. Now when you think Mount Sinai, you see the connection. Because see, Mount Sinai is where God brought his people up out of Egypt after they had been in Egyptian captivity for over 400 years. And he brought them to this mountain that he told them that they couldn't touch, but he was going to touch them. He was going to touch them with his grace and his mercy. He was going to touch them with food that they would never run out of. He was going to touch them with clothes that wouldn't wear off. He was going to give them water that they wouldn't have to thirst anymore. He brought his people to a place where he was so that they could get strengthened in him after 400 years of slavery. And Elijah right now is looking for a place. He's looking for God. Because remember, when this story, this narrative began, he had given up. And in his mind, he's ready to die. And most folks, when they give up on God, they are ready to die. And so, the angel helps him to have the strength to go where he needs to go. And for you and I to get up, we're going to need the strength to go where we need to go. We're going to need the strength to go where we can get healed, where we can be blessed, where we can receive the blessings, where God can pour out and open up the floodgates of heaven and let it rain on us. Now, I'm going to leave the rest of the story for you to read, but let me give you a couple of cliff notes. When Elijah gets to Horeb, God says to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" Now think about why Elijah goes there. Elijah goes there because that place has significance in the Jewish psyche. That place says this is where God is. But God's question to Elijah is challenging that notion. Because what that question to Elijah says is you don't have to go to Sinai, because I'm already here with you. You don't have to go travel 40 days to Mount Horeb, because when you gave up on me, I was there, Elijah. When you thought I didn't exist, I was there, Elijah. When you thought I didn't hear you, when you thought I didn't see you, when you thought you were all by yourself, I was, what you doing here, Elijah? Now, it's not ridicule, it's not scorn, it's not rebuke. It's a gentle God touching a hurting soul and saying, I understand why you're running here, but you got to understand, I never left you. I never left you. Here is the power in this message. Here is the power in this message. This story exposes the myth that a believing Christian is never down or discouraged. Because you are, and we are. And unlike those Christians on the Christian TV channels, we experience real letdowns and real disappointments. This concept that we'll always be up on the mountaintop, name it and claim it, and don't buy that. Because, you know, God didn't promise all our bills would be paid all the time. He didn't promise that everything would be peachy. He didn't promise that you'll get in the mail a check for 6 years. There's one guy who gets up on the television, he leads all of these examples of people who get on the television with him, and they say, I opened up my letter and there was a check to me for $60,000 out of nowhere. Sure. I'm not saying God can't send you $60,000, but I'm saying the picture it paints, is not scriptural. That God allows you to name it and claim it, and that you don't have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't have to be immersed in the fiery furnace. You don't have to fight lions. Paul tells us that he fought lions. He fought wild beasts. He had shipwreck. the Hebrew writer tells us that there were some, we knew about those who received the promise, but there were some who did not get the promise. There were some who died on the way to getting the promise. There were some who were sawn in half on the way to getting the promise. There were some who lost their lives. There were some that death knocked on their door. But in spite of all of that, there is still a God in heaven, and he cares. In school, we fail our tests that we thought we were prepared for. In life, our children raise up to be one thing, somehow fall along cracks of disappointment. Some of our marriages may not be as successful as we envisioned them to be. Our jobs and our friendships might experience defeat. All of us at some aspect or time in our lives will have setbacks, disappointments, and losses. We will have moments when we are defeated. And it is unrealistic, listen to me, it is unrealistic to expect successions of victory after victory after victory. And this is good because it helps us to appreciate when we do have victories, when we do overcome. What I'm talking about in Elijah's life is sometimes we give up on the situation before the situation even unfolds. You see, what ran Elijah away from Judah was a threat by Jezebel. Just a threat. Just a threat. And in his mind, he envisioned just how bad things could be. In his mind, somehow Ahab, who had been chasing him all this time and could not catch him and could not thwart him, all of a sudden, Jezebel's better than that. She's more effective than that. He focuses on the prophets of God that she had killed before, and he considered himself just as vulnerable as they were. He forgot that God was with him. He forgot long before his test was up who God really was. The principles in this lesson come to us this morning, and it tells us to understand this, that we're going to all have losses. But we can't let this spirit defeat us or destroy us. Okay? The season that we're in, we cannot afford to allow that to destroy us. There'll be more seasons, unfortunately. You know why? Because we live. There will be more seasons. But there will be more walking through the seasons. You know why? Because we have a God who knows how to open up the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. He rains his blessings on us. Can you see your God? That's why it's time to get up. Can you see your God? Can you see your God, and can you see what his story is all about? And sometimes what we need to do is as we find solace and refuge in the Lord, when Elijah ran from his fear and when he ran from Jezebel and finally got to a place, what was good for him was not a critical God, not an examining God, but a sympathetic God, a God who just reached out through his angels and touched him and gave him the solace. Because every once in a while, when the road road gets tough, we just need to relax. We need to get comforted in God, amen? David said one occasion, he comforted himself. He strengthened himself. How? In the Lord. In some kind of way, we've got to strengthen ourselves. We have to comfort ourselves. We have to take God's solace and take God's refuge and re-energize our batteries and then stand up. David lost his son, and he prayed to God while his son was sick. He said, heal him, Lord, I know you can. Heal him, Lord, and he repented in sackcloth and ashes. And when he saw his son was mulling around, he kind of sensed that the boy was dead, and he asked them, is he dead? And they all said, yes, they confirmed that his son was dead. And what did David do? He got up. He got up. And he got up because he knew one day he would go to him. You and I can get up because we have a God to go to strengthen us, to keep us. Then Elijah, somewhere along the way, I think Elijah had to recall history with God. And I say it this way. History. How do you spell that word? H-I-S. Stop it right there. H-I-S. Say that. You did exactly what I asked you to do. But what does the word spell? His. S-T-O-R-Y is story. And what we look for in history is his story in our lives. One chapter behind. One chapter before Jezebel ran him out of town. One story back, one chapter behind, Elijah walks into the palace and says, it's not going to rain. And I come to you in the power of my God. Somewhere when you're down on your knees, somewhere when you are ready to give up, you got to remember his story. Elijah walked into the palace where Jezebel was and where Ahab was and where all the prophets of Baal were. And he said, it's not going to rain. It was a direct challenge to their God versus his God. And it did not rain for 3 years just because Elijah, in the power of his God, said so. That's history. In that same chapter, there was a widow who was running out of food. And Elijah gave her a cruse of oil that never ran out. That's his story. That's when God can open up the floodgates. That's when God can rain out blessings. That's what allows us to get up. Because all is not lost. There is still a God in heaven. That same chapter, the widow's son dies. And this is what happens, you know, sometimes when people do what God asks them to do and things go south, they blame God. When the widow's son died, she jumped in Elijah's face. She says, we did everything you told us to do. Why is your God cursing us this way? Sometimes we need to stop blaming God for things that happen in our lives. Things that happen in our lives sometimes because things just happen in our lives. But Elijah, in spite of that, Elijah goes to the room where this boy is and he lays out over this boy, and the spirit of this boy comes back into him. That's his story. That's his story. And so what Elijah does as he goes to Horeb, he's recalling his story with God. He now can go back in mind and in time to Mount Carmel. Well, you know, sometimes we get lost on the prophets of Baal. We look at 450, but I want you to know there were 950 prophets that died that day. That 450 of them were just of Baal. The others were of Ashtoreth. And so on that mountain, on that day, because Elijah spoke to a God, he told the prophets of Baal, you call your God. And when their God didn't answer, Elijah says, where is your God? He said, well, maybe he's out of town. Cry a little louder. Maybe he's going to the restroom. Cry a little louder. Maybe he's out of Dodge. Cry a little louder. And Elijah spoke for because he knew who his God was. And so when it came time for his God to show up and show out, Elijah said, put some water on it. Let me show you who God is all about. Put water on the sacrifice. Put water on the rocks. Put water on the altar. And let me call on a God who can send down some real fire. And when the fire came down from glory, it wiped up. The Bible says, licked up. It was a hungry, thirsty fire. Licked up the water on the altar. Licked up the water on the sacrifice. Licked up the water in the trough around the altar. That's his story. That's his story. Don't forget your victories. Don't forget how good God is. It's time to get up now. Say it with me. It's time to get up now. Amen. Amen. And what are you getting up in? You're getting up in the strength of your God and his story in your life. You're here this morning. You're subject to the gospel call. You come to God through faith, through repentance, through confession, through baptism. You come to God and you give your life to him, give your soul to him, give your allegiance to him. Let him become Lord and master in your life. You come down here and give me your hand, give God your heart, confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We'll baptize you in a watery grave and you will rise a new creation. And if you're faithful until death, then God will give you a crown that fades not away. If you're here and somehow, in some way, you got lost the wrong way, that's all right. Come on back to God, amen? Look at your history with him. Come on back to God. If you have any requests, any desires, why don't you make those known? While together we stand and we sing the song of invitation.